this world has been connected. And now darkness within darkness awaits you.
In the end, every heart returns to the darkness whence it came.
Name is Answer. I reach for the darkness.
One who knows nothing can understand.
Welcome to the Ansem Report Podcast, the A Million Dreams award-winning and longest-running Kingdom Hearts podcast in the world. This is episode number 202 of that very podcast. I'm Mike, and with me as always is my brother, Jason. Hello, Jason.
Hi.
Welcome back to the Ansem Report, everybody. Glad to hear from you. Glad to see you.
We are so back.
We are so barack right now. What's crazy is we've been doing this bi-weekly thing, and we've had trouble even sticking to that, but here we are, bi-weekly. We did it.
They said we couldn't do it.
They said we couldn't.
They're just going to take their MDA and run.
We're going to be done. Joke's on you, motherfucker. We won. Oh, I wasn't supposed to cuss within the first minute of this. Sorry, YouTube. Anyway, we have a action-packed Ansem Report podcast for you today. We're going to talk about the best thing and the worst thing about each Kingdom Hearts game. That's right. The best and worst of each one. One singular thing. We're pretty excited about that.
I was going to say, it just kind of like a little bit off the dome, but we thought about it a little bit, you know?
A little bit of planning. Maybe.
Give us some credit, you know? Like, maybe I might be, like, thinking about it later in bed, and I'm, like, the guy who, like, wakes up in bed and sits up, and he's in it, you know? And I might be like, I should have said this. This is the worst part.
That's pretty tough, actually. But hopefully that doesn't happen. But before we get to that, Jason, we actually have not one, but two emails from listeners that we're going to read.
Okay. All right.
Cue up. It began with a letter. Here we go. This first one is from our good friend Lee, also known as Lagney. And the title of this email is "It Begins with a Letter." Greetings, boys. I'm reaching out to Mike's request in episode 42 about hearing from people who have been catching back up with the podcast.
Oh shit!
I've been a listener and a part of the Discord for a while. Just tend to not be super active. As the host of the shortest running and long dead Kingdom Hearts podcast, what you have done is honestly incredible, and I really wanted to send some encouragement your way as the KH news drought doesn't seem to be ending anytime soon.
No.
No, it doesn't. As I previously stated, I have recently just caught up with the podcast as I seem to have fallen off active listening around the beginning of the year, you know, life, work, kids, etc.
Oh, yeah.
Listening to everything regarding the Kingdom Hearts community, March Caprice, Reconnect, has been encouraging and heartwarming as a Kingdom Hearts fan. But beyond those events, the community you guys have built is simply amazing. And while I tend to just be a listener and not active in the Discord, I still somehow feel connected to this community. From your involvement in KH community events to charity streams, heck, just still being a KH podcaster for all this time is an impressive feat. I'd like to share a little with you about what KH has meant to me lately. Catching up with your podcast had me decide to once again play through Kingdom Hearts, the Kingdom Hearts series. like most Kingdom Hearts fans, this is something I do every few years. The difference this time is being that my kids are at the age to understand how to play games like Kingdom Hearts. So a few weeks ago, the four of us started down a path I've been down many times before, but for them, it's the first time.
Yo.
We've had loads of fun taking turns on boss fights, trying to level up, and most importantly, delving into the story. I can't begin to tell you how special and emotional it is to see your kids not only experience this story for the first time, but also enjoy the same as yourself. While at the draft of this email, we were only on floor 10 of Sora's time in Castle Oblivion. From the many questions and few tears shed up to this point, I know this is going to be a series that sticks with them, and I hope something they can pass on and enjoy with their kids. While I don't doubt me playing through these games with them was an inevitability, I really do owe it to you guys and your podcast for giving me the itch to play through the series again. Thank you for your consistency over the years to keep us Cage fans going so we don't lose sight of the magic of the series. I just wanted you guys to know the impact you have that reached beyond just... I wish I could talk. I just wanted you guys to know the impact you have that reached beyond just those who listen to your podcast. Ain't gonna lie, my kids are too young to hear you cretins talk about Kama Sutra Hearts.
Yeah.
But who knows, maybe one day when they're old enough, they find your podcast and enjoy it too.
In 10 Stay years.
Stay focused. Right,
Man, have
right.
you ever heard of the ARP?
And it's like that scene from Malcolm in the Middle where the dad turns to Malcolm and it goes black behind him.
Yeah,
son. That's... I want you to know once you start, there's no going back.
So true.
We're on episode 1000.
Yeah. Stay focused, stay creative, stay humble. I guess I'm saying stay yourselves. We'll be here to listen through the schedule changes or any H words that may come.
No.
Again, thank you beyond any KH podcast, even my own. Yours is the most special to me and my family. May your heart be your guiding key. Thank you. Lee, a.k.a. Lagney. And then he finishes it with... Now yuck off. Thank you, Lee. What a heartwarming email. Something I will say, I really appreciate everything you said there. Like, I'm really glad that you're getting to play with your kids. I hope that's something I can do one day when Tara and I have kids. And that's really heartwarming and great. We just went to reconnect. Obviously, we've talked a bunch about it, and not to rehash it. But we had a lot of people say similar things to us, and that kind of feedback does not take any it's not any easier to take.
Honestly, I'm gonna say the opposite a little bit, to be honest.
Really?
I think
so. Jason,
I think,
not staying humble.
I think no. I think before, like, when I would hear stuff like that, like it was like touching. It was like it felt very like at arm's length. I don't know how to explain it. Like, it still felt a little bit detached, if that makes sense, right?
Like, hey, this isn't me. Like, I get they're thanking me, but it's not how it is.
I just didn't really know how to process it, is more what I'm saying.
Okay.
Would keep it at an arm's length a little bit, because it's just like... So certain ones would still, like, get to me. Like, I might get a little bit emotional or whatever, but, like... I think since Reconnect, I'm able to, like, take these and, like, actually process them, if that makes sense.
No, I get what you're saying. I just have a hard time, like, accepting that kind of praise, I guess.
Mm.
You know, because it's like... excuse me, still have a little bit of cough. It's like, you and I just hit the record button and we talk about Kingdom Hearts, you know? And, like, obviously it's more than that now. For a lot of people, and for us, honestly, like to say that, but like it really is more than that. But it's just like I'm just like, oh, that's so nice that we, you know, that you like what we do. I guess, and I must have some like issues, you know, where I'm like,
we both definitely have issues for sure.
Yeah,
I think Reconnect helped me work through those issues a bit more, and it like when we get the feedback, it's like. I would keep it at arm's length because, like, yeah, like, I don't want to be, like, prideful or anything like that, like, but at the same time, it's more that it's not about, like, how good we're doing, it's more just, like, I am, like, feeling your emotions, and they're good emotions.
Jason has become an empath.
True.
But, yeah, thank you again, Lee, appreciate it. We have another one from Sparks33. who was once under the name Energy Scott, and they actually Discord messaged me, which if you're not comfortable writing an email for whatever reason, you are more than welcome to do that. Don't be a weirdo, as always, but if you just say in the beginning of your
the floodgates are open.
If you say in the beginning of your message that you want it to be treated like an email we read, just put that. Just that's what Sparks did, so that was really helpful to me.
Yeah, yeah. That works too.
So you're more than welcome to do that, is my point. All right, cue up It Began With Letter again.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Restart this, that shit. Email is titled Feeling Reconnected. Hello to the ARP. I've been a quiet member of this community for a few years now. I was once under the name Energy Scott and engaged a few times with people. I've always swayed in and out of feeling a part of the community to no one's fault but my own, just simply because life is scary and sometimes I doubt my own contribution. Living in the UK, I found it hard to interact with everyone as much as I'd like. This led to feelings that I was failing to support the homies. I felt this was important to address, as I'm sure others may feel the same way every now and then and feel on the outside of a very warming community. I've still been listening away to the ARP, but deleted Twitter, and now Discord is my only access to the community. I got severe FOMO hearing about Reconnect, as again, I'm sure a lot of you did, but I wanted to send out a nice message to everyone. Firstly, to everyone who went to Reconnect, seeing you all interact for years and then meeting each other made my heart melt. I'm quite sentimental, obviously, and it looked magical. I expected nothing less from a group of amazing people, and I'm glad you partied hard, maybe too hard from what you've said. I'm so happy for
not
you.
Hard enough. And not hard enough.
I'm so happy for you and massively proud of the bros for winning the Million Dreams Award. Man, I would have gone crazy in that room with you all. Let's go, Million
Hell
Dreams
yeah,
Award
dude.
Winners!
Hell yeah.
Secondly, to everyone who didn't go, I feel your pain. It's making me shed a tear or two writing this, but I can honestly say that it has affected me more than I could imagine. I was feeling like I could never go in the future as I wouldn't belong, but this simply isn't true.
No. Yeah.
After listening to episode 201 and hearing Tara and the guys chatting about their experience and everyone stepping out of their comfort zone, it made me extremely passionate to maybe do the same one day.
Hell yeah.
And I hope it does the same for those who didn't go. I hope everyone who didn't go gets their chance one day to meet the gang and hopefully reconnect. And hopefully Reconnect is maybe the place to do that. Thank you to the ARP for always being there just by chatting every week or fortnight. You're helping without even knowing, and I, for one, appreciate that. I know now that if I manage the massive job of attending Reconnect, that I'll be welcomed by everyone. Maybe you guys could have a UK channel on here. I'd love to connect with people from here, and who knows, maybe we'll all travel to the States together for Reconnect next year. We could finally answer the question of what the English sound like when they sing. Spoiler alert, we sing in American. Anyway, love to everyone, and thanks for always being inclusive as a community. I'm hoping to engage with all of you a lot more. May your heart be your guiding key. Now fuck off, Smilers. Sparks 33.
Thank you, Sparks. Scott's an OG, dude.
Yeah. I want to touch on something that they said earlier, how they've swayed in and out of the community and, you know, living in the UK in a different time zone. It made it feel like they were failing to support the homies. And I just want to let you guys know, no matter how you support us, it is appreciated. And you're never failing us. And even if there are times in your life where you don't support us, meaning like you're just not active or you don't listen or whatever it might be,
right,
you're not letting us down. Any support we get is appreciated and loved by us, from people that just listen to the podcast every week and don't engage more, to people that are like in the Discord every day posting nonsense. You know what I mean? Like everything's appreciated, and no one's ever letting us down. You know, as long as you in your heart have that, that feeling of what Kingdom Hearts is about, right? You're not like a mean person or like a bad person, you know, like, or you're not just like rude to people. Like you're not letting us down. So, I appreciate both of those emails tremendously. Like honestly, I know we talk about the emails a lot when we get them, but it's not just about like, oh, it's like, I mean, there is a part of it that's like, hey, it's content for us to talk about this stuff, right? Like, don't get me wrong. Like, they're helpful. But, like, they also just, like, they motivate me to want to continue to do more.
Yeah.
With the podcast and continue to, like, reach out to people and talk to people and, you know, reconnect.
Well, even on, like, a personal level, too.
Yeah.
Like, it just makes me want to be better, like, period. I feel like that's the only way you let us down is if you're not supporting you. You got to support
for
you.
For sure.
F- first.
Yep.
Whatever it is you're thinking about that you've been wanting to do. And I know that's like something that like, I think it was like Dangus and Angel were saying in the podcast, or not in the podcast, in the Discord, like, you know, meeting with good people just makes you want to be better. Like doing like regular adulting things after Reconnect was like just like really easy and normal. And I'm like, I got like a little pep in my step type of thing. And it's like, you just got to keep going. Keep whatever it is that came to mind when I was like, whatever it is you've been wanting to do. Hey, get on it. Get after it. You don't let us down, bro. You gotta get better.
I always tell myself when I'm faced with like a situation like that where I'm like, should I do this thing? I always, you know, think to myself, if not now, when? Right?
Right.
And
literally,
you know,
now.
If you're sitting there like going, oh, I want to do a podcast, or I want to start making YouTube videos, or I want to stream on Twitch, or I want to speed run, or I want to ask the girl out that I like, or ask the boy out that I like. I want to go back to school. I want to get a new job. I want to go to the gym. I want to start a diet. No matter what it is, there's two things that pulled people back. It's I'm not good enough, and it's too late. And I'm here to tell you guys,
they're both wrong.
I'm here to tell you guys, you are good enough.
Yes.
And it's not too late, because all that's going to change, like say you're like, oh, I'm, you know, like me, I'm in my mid 30s. Okay. And I've been in my mid 30s the whole time this podcast has been out. And if I would have said, you know, Jay, I don't think I can start a podcast or start streaming on Twitch, 'cause I'm kind of old for that space. All that's changed, you know, if I wouldn't have done it, all that's changed is that I'm older. you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, nothing, if I don't
you
start
can't
now,
stop that.
Exactly. You're going to get older no matter what. No matter what you do, you are going to get older. So why not do something that you want to try to do?
Right.
And I didn't mean for this to become this, like, motivational speech that we're giving, but, like,
It's real.
Nothing makes me happier than seeing people that have supported us succeed.
Absolutely.
In the same way, you know?
Absolutely.
Like that, it's just an incredible feeling. And not even from the standpoint of, oh, I had a part in that or that bullshit.
No,
it's just,
no, yeah, yeah.
It's heartwarming to see people do what they want to do and succeed at it and you know, have a level of success that they're happy with, no matter how big or small it is. And so if you're sitting there right now going, I can't do this because I'm not good enough or because it's too late, you're fucking wrong.
You're wrong.
You're just wrong.
Take 5 minutes to research whatever it is. Or like, we literally have like parts in the Discord where it's like, you know, we have the Swole Leon's Gym where we talk about like workout stuff and health stuff and just motivate each other and like, you know, little victories, celebrating it with the homies, you know? Not everybody has like a huge support system at home. So it's like really cool to be able to have, you know, the online homies and be able to see that progress and just, you know, when you need that little like kick in the pants type of thing, you know?
Right.
We got you.
Here's the thing. That, like Jason says, there's plenty of people that want to help and support you. And no matter if it's something you've never done before, you're going to be bad at it.
Yeah. Do it badly.
You're going to be bad at it. Sean's will tell you our first episode of the podcast was cringe. I lay awake at night thinking, man, Sean's thinks that episode was cringe. Because it was, right? It's our most listened to episode on the podcasting app, but it was cringe. Like, you go listen to it and go,
we're cringe now.
Right, we're cringe now, but we know what we're doing now, right?
A little bit more, maybe.
You can get good at something by doing it. That's how you get good at things. I know everybody has the attitude of, oh, I want to be good immediately. No, that's not how it works, Yoda voice. You have to put in the work. And you're going to be bad. And you have to be okay with not doing well and failing. But the only way you actually fail is if you stop.
True. True.
Like that's the only way you actually fail. We started as a joke saying we're the longest running Kingdom Hearts podcast. And we're going to fucking be now. Because we didn't stop. We didn't give up. You know, I don't know, you know, that's something for us to hang our head on. We won a fucking podcast award.
Yeah.
I'm still not fucking over that. We won a fucking podcast award. And for no reason other than Jay and I had an idea and we went with it and we stuck with it. We didn't pick up like any kind of traction till like episode like 30 or 40, you guys. And
yeah, that's 40 weeks.
Yeah, that's 40. And back then we did it every week. That was 40 straight weeks. And yeah. there'd be people here or there that were there from the beginning that were like, hey, I like this podcast. Hey, good work. Mm-hmm. There were people there. Don't get me wrong.
We had some OGs.
But it wasn't like it
down.
Is now. Right. Yeah, it wasn't like it is now where like people are just universally telling us how great we are at this podcasting stuff. And it's like, cause we weren't, we had to put in the work. Yeah, man, this podcast episode has gotten off the fucking rails. But like, I guess I just have a lot to say on this, you know, because I've seen it in myself and in my brother.
Yep.
And in other people who, you know, just put in the work. Not everybody's gonna be regular Pat and get YouTube to say, hey, you're the gamer creator of the month, right?
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Pat was putting in fucking work when he got that. They didn't just pick somebody out of a hat. It wasn't a lottery. Pat was putting in work. They recognized it and said, here you go.
True.
And he's ran with it. And he's still putting in work. Every content creator I know that's successful puts in work. BioRoxas ignores his family to work. I'm gonna get beat up for that one.
I love you, Bio.
Yeah, I love you too, Bio. But you guys gotta understand, like this, like I know it's like, oh, hit the record button and talk about Kingdom Hearts. I know we say that all the time, but this is hard work.
Like, yeah, there were so many times we didn't want to do it and we just did it anyways.
Right.
And then we had fun. It's like the same thing with like, you know, taking some type of new class, you know, going to the gym. There's so many days where you're like, you just don't want to do it, but you'll like find the motivation or like the reason while you're doing it when you don't want to.
Here's the thing. Like, I'm like,
and for every time I don't want to, there's times where I'm having so much fun. Like, I want to, and I'm doing it, and it's great.
Right.
Not that it's like all doom and gloom.
let me tell you guys about my day today. Okay. I woke up, I took a shower, I ate breakfast. Mm. I recorded a episode of What Is This, a Crossover episode with my friend Sean. Okay.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I went to work for 10 hours. I came home. I had, you know, a late dinner with my girlfriend. I put her to bed. And then I came down in here and started recording a podcast with my brother Jason. That's my day. And that's how my day looks like every day. Like, you know what I mean? Like that, because I'm so like, now I'm addicted to like putting this stuff out and doing this work and putting in the work to like make these podcasts the best they can be and make our Twitch streams the best they can be.
It feels good.
I'm grinding and I'm not even mad about it. I'm getting 5 hours of sleep. That's all I need.
Right. So
it's a grind.
Mine was wake up, immediately roll out of bed, straight to my computer and work until like six or something, go to the gym, come home immediately. Like, I had 1 minute. I scarfed down a protein bar. I had Japanese class. Frame one out of Japanese class. Jump in here and record.
Exactly. So, and you have to, like, learn to love the grind of it.
Yeah, it feels so good. Like, the feeling of doing it tired, doing it where, like, you know, maybe the situation's not great. Like, right now, I'm starving. I haven't ate in, like, probably, like, 5 hours. And, like, I'm freaking starving, but I'm just doing it without everything being in line. If you wait for everything to be perfect, then you won't do it because it's never going to be. Like, especially with, like, streaming, you know, people, like, feel like they have to have all their alerts, all of their, you know, transitions, all of their scenes. They need to have great artwork. They need to have all the emotes. They need to have all this. Like, you don't need that. You'll get it along the line. And even if you think you got everything perfect and you got it all right and everything, like, you took, like, an extra year to set up streaming because you just wanted everything to be perfect. And guess what? It's not. You are going to change it in a couple of months because somebody came up with a better idea. Or you came up with a better idea.
Or it breaks. It all fucking breaks the minute you go before the stream.
Yeah.
Right.
Shout out Streamlabs. Shout out Streamlabs.
Exactly.
So it's like, don't do it when you... Only when you feel like it. Don't do it only when everything's perfect. Do it tired. Do it afraid. Do it like stressed out, have anxiety,
naked.
Just do it. Just
do it naked and
don't
afraid.
Let your dreams be dreams.
Exactly. That was the whole point of the segment. Is don't let your dreams be dreams and send us more emails, damn it.
True.
Because apparently it sends me and Jason on a crazy spiral of motivational speaking.
Yeah.
So if you want to email us, AnselmReportPodcast@gmail.com, or like I said, you can DM me on Discord. Please don't be weird. Okay. I know some of you out there are like,
some of you are weird.
You're rubbing your hands together. Egg. You're like, Mike just gave me permission to be a weirdo in the deep. No, I don't want that. Don't do that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Send me all freaking weird, dude.
Don't send me some weird shit. Okay. You leave that for the actual public Discord.
I feel like
so
Nesquik is
going to
send
you
some weird shit. You know,
Nesquik
like,
is going to send
I'm
me.
Getting.
Nesquik. I was going to say something really fucking perverse. Anyway.
It's like you a sexy minion. I was
going to say he's going to send me Arabian goggles. I don't know why I was going to say that. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break. That's right. We're taking two breaks this episode because this went way longer than I thought it was going to. And when we come back, we are going to talk about the best and the worst things, singular things, in each Kingdom Hearts game. We'll be right back.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to the Ansem Report podcast. Jason.
Yeah.
Let's talk about what we think individually are the singular best and singular worst things in each Kingdom Hearts game.
I don't really feel like it.
Man.
Let's just cut the, well, you know, I'm kind of hungry.
Yeah.
I'm kind of tired.
Yeah. Yeah, I get it.
I have a bit of a wedgie that I just, I don't know why.
Pick that shit out, bro.
I'm not going to. It's just like.
No one can see you. Just pick it out.
I don't even really have a wedgie. I have like a mental wedgie, you know?
Oh, dude. Yeah, I hate when my mental ass crack has underwear wedged in it.
My metaphysical ass crack. Anyway.
Anyway, so let's start with Kingdom Hearts 1. Start at the OG. We're not doing like. Like, we're not going to do. Here are the rules. We each pick one singular thing to be best and worst. We're not doing like chain of memories over re-chain of memories, right? We're going to do just re-chain of memories. We're not.
Yeah, yeah.
We're talking about the most recent version of these games. We're not doing Unchained Key over Union Cross. We're not doing, the OG Kingdom Hearts 1 over the final mix version.
Final
right?
mix. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right, right, there's
right.
no
so
reason.
There's a,
yeah.
So that's the rule. Okay. And also, Jason and I made sure that we didn't say the same thing for each one because that would be
boring.
Yeah,
that was the only other thing, really. Yeah.
That would be boring. So we're going to start with Kingdom Hearts 1, Jay. Why don't you kick us off with what your best and then you say a few words about it and your worst?
Best thing about KH1, dude, the jump combos just feel so good. And that's from, like, frame one, they feel good. Like, obviously, like, some of the, like, you can't really jump combo the shadow super well, but, like, anything you're hitting where you can jump and hit that shit, like, the first boss in Traverse Town or something, like, it just feels good, and it doesn't stop feeling good until we get to the worst part, which is the freaking end game enemies, and kind of just the end game in general to me. Like, specifically the Invincibles and the Angels come to mind. They're just terrible, terrible enemies. Just tons of iframes. And also kind of like what I was going to put is like the clanking. Whenever you clank on the wall or on enemies, whether they're like parrying you, like, or like if you hit like the front of a large body or the shield on those like flame shield boys, Invincibles when they're... Invisibles when they're invincible, Angels when they're invincible, it doesn't feel good at all. I don't care if I get plus one XP for teching or some shit, bro. That feels awful. But anyway, that's my best and worst.
All right, Jason, for my best and worst, and great job on yours, by the way. I agree with both of those. I'm definitely saying this for the first time, not the second time. My best is might be sound similar to your worst, but it's actually something I've called post-game/secrets. I think Kingdom Hearts 1 does the best in the series of giving you things to do like near the end of the game slash after you beat the game. You know, the Colosseum stuff is great. Kurt Ziza, the Phantom. Zemnis is unknown ass.
True.
And the way they set, like, it's really, the way they do it is really cool with, like, for example, Kurt Ziza, you go to Aladdin after a certain point and the carpet's like stuck under something and you're like, what is this? And you go out in the middle desert and then this giant motherfucking boss just shows up. Or same with, like, the Phantom in Neverland by the Clock Tower. He just kind of shows up and you're like, what is this? Like, there's no, like...
It's kind of in the vein of, like, Final Fantasy Endgame where, like, you could just stumble into, like, an endgame boss. You're like, oh, I need to get stronger.
And it's something I feel like that's kind of missing from the newer games.
Yeah.
They do a decent job of it in 2, but not as good to me as 1.
It's just the data battles,
Yeah, I don't think one...
And Sephiroth, I guess.
It's not just, like, having a good secret boss. It's, like, having a good secret boss that's, like, hidden in the world somewhere, right?
Yeah, really just Sephiroth is the only one that's like that. I mean, I guess, like, Lingering Will as well.
Yeah.
Like, you show up and they're like, there's this weird portal.
Right, yeah. Lingering Will, it's, like, it's clear you're entering a boss arena where, like, I don't feel that with Kurt Ziza or with the Phantom.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Also, it's, like, very tonal shift as well.
Yeah.
To those areas, because it's, like, in the Disney worlds, like, Kurt Ziza's coming out of the sand.
And I'm cheating a little bit by including this, but it is a secret. I think the secret movie for KH1 is just absolutely incredible.
It's kind of what sparks it all, kind of.
Right. Right, because it's like you're adding this mystery to this stuff, and it's like so cool. It's such a tonal shift, and it's so cool. And that's really what got me hooked on Kingdom Hearts for sure. Is those kind of post game stuff and the secret ending. The worst for me is the platforming. I've gotten a lot better at it now. But like the deep jungle platforming, the Monstro platforming,
Wonderland,
navigating Hook's ship. You're like clanking off the top of roofs when you're trying to,
it's
not good.
Hollow Bastion.
Hollow Bastion's another one. And they were, you know, they probably went too far in the other direction for KH2, which that's a bit of a preview for my KH2 entry. But, I feel like they were trying to, because they wanted, you know, to, the original plan for Square Enix and Disney was to make someone that rivaled Mario, right?
And
so including the platforming makes sense, however it was just poorly executed.
Well,
in
platforming
my opinion
is just so ingrained into early gaming as well, you
right
know?
very true, but I just think they do a poor job of it in KH1. We'll kind of do snake ladder this, so I'll go to Recom.
Okay.
My best thing about Recom, and this kind of, When we thought about this idea, it was like, this can be anything. It doesn't have to be a gameplay mechanic or a story moment or a level. It can be literally anything. And for me, the best part of Recom is when Axel absolutely just murders Vexen in front of Sora. Just with no remorse, lights him on fire and kills him.
That is a badass moment.
It is a very badass moment. I really enjoy it. And people...
It's got some Punisher vibes, you know?
I kind of cheated here because it's way more brutal in Chain of Memories as opposed to Rechain of Memories. Right? So I cheated a bit here because I said, oh, we're not doing... But I still think it's worth mentioning here as the best thing. The worst thing for me is Riku's trip to Wonderland. The way Riku works in this game, he can't like change his slates. He has what he has. And his slate in Wonderland is... absolute dog shit.
It's
to the point
bad.
Where if you go to Wonderland early on, you can literally be stuck there because it's that bad. If you're
not
strong enough
level.
And it's just a really it's funny because it just needs a couple tweaks to the cards and it's fine, but it like they didn't they didn't clock that in testing or whatever. And it's just, to me, it's just a huge oversight and it's really bad.
And like, they haven't patched it because it's like these games don't get like patches really, you know?
Yeah, but they didn't fix it in,
Like from PlayStation 3 to PlayStation 4, you're telling me you can't just do one pass on the Wonderlands like pool?
Right.
Come on, bruh.
Yeah, it's pretty poor. It's pretty poor. So that's my worst answer. What do you have for Recon?
I kind of want to do bad first because I feel bad about shitting on it as the last thing I say. So I'm going to say bad first. The worst thing about Recon is that it's like a quasi Cage one story rehash. And that's just kind of a thing that I fucking hate about Kingdom Hearts in general, is just how many times Cage one is rehashed. So that's the worst thing in my opinion. Let's do KH1, but worse, you know? Like, the interstitial stuff is fine, but in each world, I'm just skip cutscene every time, bro. Like,
it's not even worth watching.
I do not care. Yeah. And it's not even different enough compared to, like, Recoded or something, where it's, like, at least, like, the art style and, like, so much stuff, like literally the gameplay adds to, like, how it feels very different. But Recom to one doesn't feel nearly different enough, especially in the cutscenes.
Right. Well, and what I was going to say too, and I think we'll talk about this more when we get to Recoded, but like, the part of the issue is that none of it even matters, right? Because they're all like built from source memories. These people don't remember like any of this stuff because they weren't actually there. And so it like makes it even more pointless, you know?
Yeah.
Like, he's not really talking to Aerith in Traverse Town
every single time, too.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Why don't you remember me? Oh, way. Yeah. But
sure.
Anyway.
I agree.
My most favorite-est thing about Recom is that it's got, like, the player choice is at its peak, dude. When you level up, you get to choose. Yo, do I want more HP? Do I want more slates that I can use? Do I want more card points? Like, literally just that. And then also, your entire deck. If you just want to spam hella summons, you can just spam hella summons. If you want to just have all level 9 keys on there, you can. Like, and just, like, changing your decks going throughout it. And especially once you learn more. Like, it has a bit of a learning curve, but if you learn more about it, like, you can just feel very, very strong with not a lot. Like, you don't really have to grind, which I'm somebody where I like the grinds in these type of games, so it's a plus for me. But even if you don't like it, you can just kind of slam through the game if you just take a little bit of time to learn the slates and, like, what's good, what's bad, and... Yeah, I just like that you can kind of play it a little bit brain dead if you know what you're doing, you know, like leveling Sora, you do a little bit of work making a really OP deck, and then you just mash triangle, you know, like you just clear
easy
rooms.
Peasy.
So, but it's like when you put in the work to get that, it feels really good.
Agreed.
And that's the best thing. What am I doing next?
KH2.
KH2, the worst thing. The worst thing about KH2, bro, you can't block in the air as well as you can't really use magic more than once in the air.
Shout outs to Wildcat Diana. She is like screaming.
Diana's
say
pumping her fist in the air.
For the people in the back. She's like, yeah.
Dude, you can't block in the air. Like, I can't jump up and like spam thunder or something. Like, I got to jump up. At least in KH1, like, it would kind of animation cancel a little bit. So you could do, like, the jump blizzards and stuff, and that was cool. But, like, in KH2, your options in the air are literally just, okay, I can use, like, one reflect, one thunder, one whatever, right? Or, like, one magnet. Or just an aerial combo, maybe, like, a horizontal slash. Like, those are your two options. And it just doesn't feel great. Especially because it's like a lot of the other parts of the combat are just so good. And that kind of leads into my best thing about KH2 is just how many tools you have. And that's why it feels so weird in the aerial department, feeling like I don't have a ton of tools, right? Like between like the drive forms, the summons, the magic, the abilities. It feels very good being able to pull from different resource pools and always feeling like there's some type of strat or something you can come up with and find your own play style that way. Feels good.
Okay. All right. Good answers. My answer for Cage 2, I'm not going to start with worst. I'm going to start with best. The best thing about Cage 2 to me is the kind of gauntlet run towards the end of the game. You know, when you get to the world that never was and you fight, in the Final Mix version, at least Roxas, and then you go fight Zigbar, and then you go fight Luxord, and then you go fight Syax, and then you go fight Xemnas, and then you have the Xemnas gauntlet with Chair Xemnas and Dragon Xemnas. I just think it is like... It's kind of hurt the rest of the games in comparison because like KH3 was trying to emulate that and I don't think it did it as well.
Yeah.
And it's just so cool that whole lead up to the end of the game and you get to use all your tools that you've built up to this time. And I just think it's really neat. I really think that's like peak Kingdom Hearts right there, is that organization gauntlet that you go through.
Yeah.
At the end of the game. The worst part of Kingdom Hearts 2 to me is, I kind of hinted at this when we were talking about KH1, but in the way that KH1 has bad platforming, I feel like KH2 knew that, but instead of just making it good platforming, they said, what if every area was a hallway?
Yeah. Minus Cavern of Remembrance, which was added later.
Right, which was added later with the new movement forms. So they like added these movement forms to make platforming better, but then made no like effort to have like rewarding platforming in the game other than like with the Cavern of Remembrance, right? And I just think that's tough. I think they, you know, to me that's the biggest letdown in Kingdom Hearts 2 is, you know, while the combat and honestly it kind of links to your thing where we're talking about there's not a lot of good aerial options. It's because they don't expect you to be in the air very much because you don't, there's not a lot of verticality to the levels and
that's
level
true.
Design.
Yeah. Yeah.
But to me I think that's a miss. So that's my KH2 answer.
Facts.
Moving on, we're going to go to 358 over 2 days. The DS game. And I'm going to say for the best, it's the story. I think people often comment on the story of this game that it's a very rewarding story to witness. Really fleshes out Roxas and Axel and Shion. Well, it doesn't flesh out Shion. She didn't exist before it, but it creates that character and you know, to the point where people were, when KH3 was coming around, were demanding these characters return because it had such an emotional effect on them.
Yeah,
story-wise. It even gives Syax some good time. You get to know Syax a little more.
Mm-hmm.
And just kind
of
fleshes...
other organization members a tiny bit.
Yeah,
you, like,
a little
go
bit.
Out with them. Yeah.
A little bit. And I think the story beats are really solid. But that also leads into my worst, is that when it's not hitting you with good story beats, the game is kind of dog shit. Because the mission-based structure, I think, is terrible. You go days upon days without anything mattering. And it's just padding to keep the, you know, to keep the game longer. At least that's how it feels. And, like, you know, there are some really bad missions in there that are just inconsequential. And it'll just be like, okay, day 242, day 243, day 244. Yeah. And you're like, okay, this isn't doing anything for me. But like, in order to have your character be like powerful enough to complete the game, you have to do these things.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it's not like, you
can
skip them and
be
fine.
Out of it. Right. Yeah.
Right.
It's like,
right.
The progression, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm not a huge fan of that structure, but I do think the story bits that are in there are incredible.
True. So the worst thing for me, you kind of touched on it a little bit, mine's a little bit different, it's more specific. The motherfucking stealth missions, dude. What
in
terrible. The hell, dude? It's like... I don't know what game came out like right before they started development, like if it was like Assassin's Creed or some shit back in the day, dude, but my God, there's so many for no reason. They have these huge sweeping vision cones that like are literally like rigged to like a cone in front of them, but like if their movement animation is weird, like for example, like Lumiere's, so he's like jumping, so his shit is like moving back and forth like crazy because his whole body just jerks. Like it's just terrible. It is like the worst missions and like type of little story beats or whatever gameplay beats in the games, like period. It's awful.
Agreed. They're really terrible.
Like put me in the recoded, like little, like tiny, exactly the same rooms over and over before I want to do another stealth mission, dude. Like holy moly. But the best thing about 358 is I really like the slotting, like equipment type of stuff. Like it's got like this like Tetris vibe to it, and as you're leveling up, you're unlocking more slots and stuff, and always trying to fit stuff in and moving it around, and it can be a little bit of a chore if it's like, oh, okay, well, in this world, like, there's enemies that can't even be hurt by fire. There's like so many of them, but I had a bunch of fires equipped, so these are useless. So I can either back out and go equip a bunch of blizzards instead and then like have a way better time, but it's like a little bit annoying. I could see that, but I don't know. I really like it. And it's really cool. And I think it lends itself to like, a little bit of what we see in like Recoded as well.
All right. Yeah. I think, up next we have Recoded.
So the worst thing about Recoded, and I kind of already said this earlier, it rehashes Kingdom Hearts 1 story, not once, but twice. Like, fucking how, dude? How do you do this? Like, how many times do you have to beat this horse? Let's just do KH1 again, but worse. And then let's do KH1 again, but worse than what we just did previously. Like, it's so bad.
It's bad.
I lost my mind on stream, and that was relatively recently. Like, I absolutely lost it. I was like, there's no way this is real right now. Like, it's going to time skip into just like, you know, we will have off screen done all the worlds again. No, dude, it's absolutely terrible. They're like, what if we did like a little bit of like because it's like it's not exactly KH1 retelling. It's a rechain retelling, which is just KH1 retelling. But ugh. Yeah,
just thinking
awful.
About it makes me upset.
Yeah, I'm triggered right now. My heart rate on my freaking Fitbit, it's up like 20 BPM compared to 5 minutes ago.
No, thank you.
But the best thing is the level system, dude. In a similar way to 358, it was the most interesting part where when I was going through and looking at it, it's a travesty that like it's just stuck in this terrible game.
Like,
if they would have had put that in like 358 instead, I think it would have been way cooler. But
so
yeah.
Like the problem with it for me, like I agree that it's like a unique way to do it. Mm-hmm. The problem with it for me is that because of the nature of Recoded, they keep changing what kind of game you're playing, and then what you're like slotting in doesn't matter.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I mean? Like they're like, well, now it's a turn-based game, and now it's a side scroller, and now and so it's like what you're slotting in doesn't actually matter, and that's like the biggest sin in video games.
Yeah.
Like when they turn you into Lion Sora and you can't use all the abilities you've gained up to this point. Like it,
right.
That's like my least favorite thing in video games, and so it like
true.
It does that. Like it's a novel idea if the game was, hey, use this the whole time, but I feel like it's not.
Or like if they had their own, like each level had its own like level up system kind of, and like you just leveled up super fast, so you like,
or like what you slotted in means something in those moments
places.
I guess
the different
places, and I don't think that's how it works. I mean, could be wrong.
No. For the most part, no.
Yeah. Okay, so Recoded for me, the best thing about Recoded hands down is the music. There's tracks like No More Bugs,
absolutely
pretty abilities. There's another one that escapes me. Pretty Pretty Abilities is the menu music, which is just slaps. the version of Naminé's theme, the version of Traverse Town, they're just really good. They're like kind of pixely because they're coming out of like a DS or whatever. And they're just really good. I use them on the podcast all the time during the question of the week. They're great songs. So that's my answer for that. The worst is everything else. Every single part of this game besides the music is terrible. From the things you said, I even found something to hate on your positive because this game is so bad. It's so terrible. It should have been kept as a movie. I mean, it is. They didn't remake it, right? Which is a great thing. Yeah. Never remake Recoded.
It saved so many of my marbles.
It's just so bad, and I don't understand. I know Water KH is a big fan. I don't get it.
It also retroactively ruins like one of the coolest scenes where like Sora, like Kairi runs up to Sora and Riku and she's like, there's a message in the bottle. And then they're like looking at it and you're like, fuck, I want to know what's on the letter. And it's like the worst game of all time.
It's like, here's what's on the letter.
I had a virus on my computer and I got scared and my pants fell down. It's like, Jesus, dude.
Yeah, it's bad. It's bad. Up next, we have BBS. And for me, the best thing about BBS, and I kind of waffled on this a little bit because I there's a lot of cool things I like about BBS.
Mm.
But to me, seeing the payoff, it kind of the opposite of what we talked about Recoded here, seeing the payoff of that ending in KH2, seeing the payoff of the secret ending in KH2, and having it be that cool moment where the three Keyblade wielders are going up against Xehanort and Vanitas in that... in that thing and playing as each character during those moments and piecing them together when you've beaten it with all three, I think is really cool. I really enjoy. And I mean, the one thing that ruins it a little bit, not ruins it, but like kind of makes me go, huh, is they play the movie at the beginning of the game. So you're like,
yeah,
you're like, I mean, they showed it to you in the final mix version of KH2. So it doesn't super matter, but it's kind of like, you guys didn't have to do that. But I still really like that sequence. I think that Keyblade Graveyard they go in is really cool. The music there, everything about it is really cool. The worst thing for me about BBS is the command board minigame. I know it's not necessary for you to do it, but there are some really good shot locks hidden behind it, which you can meld if you know what you're doing. But the Plat Trophy, and in the time when we were getting the Plat Trophy, I lost my marbles playing command board. It's just one of those things. It's like if Mario Party removed all the skill and fun.
Yeah.
And then you have command board. And so I think it's pretty tough. So yeah, that's my answer for BBS.
The worst thing for me for BBS is the Vanitas fights, and it's because he constantly is like teleporting away and his revenge values are super low. Like you hit him like twice and he's already retaliating. It makes it so you kind of have to do some pretty degenerate gameplay where you just cast freaking mine and just like roll around. It's terrible. And it could be so much cooler because, like, his music and he's just so menacing in general. I just wish he was, like, a little bit nicer. And then also, like, make him a little bit nicer, but give him a little bit more health or something, you know? Like, it just feels like you have to guard so much. And in a similar way, it's like when you fight, like, Zigbar as well. Like, when you fight... or Brage or whatever. Like, when you fight him as Terra... you just block. Like, you are just blocking. Like, right. The entire time, pretty much. So, like, those two fights are just dog shit. But the best part of BBS is the player choice. You know, in a similar way where it's like, if you want to have... like, in a similar way to Rechain, if you want to have 9 Magnets and 1 Kiraga, you can do that. You know, like,
right.
If you just want to spam triple Firaga, you can do that. You know, just absolutely machine gunning Firagas over and over. You could do that. Or if you just want all like crazy slide dash abilities and stuff, you can do that too.
You can
and
do
I
that.
Like that. It's not only do you have that, but you can then take that into account for what forms you go into. If you're using a ton of fire, you're going to go into the flame one. And then after that, if you use some magnet, oh, you go into their next form. Like that type of stuff is really, really cool. And I really hope they make another game like that, like with the melding. I hope so. Mobile gaming
BBS
probably
2,
killed
where are
it.
You?
Diana again is saying, "Say it again in the back for the people in the back."
BBS
we
2,
need BBS
we
2.
We need it
now with none of that mobile game shit, dude.
BBS 2. Good answer, Jason. Up next is DDD.
So the worst thing about DDD is the drop mechanic, you know, and it's because like.
But wait, Jason, it's in the title.
Let's just say, you know, you're in the middle of a boss
fight. It can't
just
be dream distance.
You're about to kill the boss. Your ass just dropped. And guess what? You gotta redo the motherfucking fight, dude. Like, you might be in the middle of it. But it's just like, it's just... Like, there's certain things about it that are cool. Like, you have some cool moments, but it's typically just annoying. Like, 80% of the time... It's just annoying. And yeah, you can get the drop me nots, but it's like how you use them. You have to like go into your command board and like equip it and then go out of your menu and then use it. Like it's just dumb. But yeah, anyway. And then the best thing about DDD is the coziness factor.
It's just got a the level, coziness factor.
It's got a level of coziness that other games just they don't freaking compare, dude. When I'm in the music world, I don't even know exactly what it's called. When I'm in the music world and I got the Chef Frog and I got the Night Frog and we're just rolling deep, just it's just so freaking cozy. Like it just reminds me of just, you know, sitting down. It's a nice cold day, but you're cozy. You got the blankets. You got some nice pajamas on. You're sipping some hot cocoa. Like that is what DDD is to me. You know, like I'm chilling in the Three Musketeers. Like there's just it, in a good way. The story doesn't matter, if that makes sense. Like when you're in the Three Musketeers, none of it really matters because you're in a dream world, right? But it's in a endearing way where. It kind of reminds me of like when you're watching some like Disney Channel show, like you're watching some like Lilo and Stitch. It doesn't really matter, but it's still fun. It's still cozy and it's good as shit. I'm a DDD enjoyer.
You are a DDD enjoyer. My best thing about DDD is actually I really enjoy the Dream Eaters and their mechanics. I like the Pokemon Light of it. I like... that you unlock abilities through leveling them up and using them in specific ways. I think that's really cool. I even like having to pet them on the right spot of their body to change their nature. I think that's funny.
I wish there was like a little better manga way to know. Yeah. Stab him in his fucking eye.
Yeah, sometimes it's like rub the frog in his grundle and you're like, wait, he likes it a little too much. You know,
it's like 80 hearts. You're like, oh god.
Right. But overall I like the Dream Eater mechanic. I think it's fun. I think you can unlock some really cool ones. And I think it's a good twist on a Kingdom Hearts game. I really, you know, as opposed to like they obviously for story reasons couldn't have like Donald and Goofy in there, you know. And I think this is the next best thing is having these little monsters with you.
One of like the team up moves and stuff. That's really cool.
Yeah, yeah, those are cool too. Like for sure. I like everything about it. The worst thing about DDD, and I don't say this lightly, because there are some problems with DDD. Don't get me wrong. But the worst thing about DDD is Flick Rush. Flick Rush is maybe the worst minigame in Kingdom Hearts history. I hate it. It's not fun. It's RNG. It's glitchy. Yeah. There have been times where my Dream Eater gets knocked off the stage and the camera just shoots into the fucking stratosphere.
Yeah.
And I don't know what's happening.
Well, there's just like times where the CPU is just at such an advantage and you can't do anything about it.
Right.
Like it's just, hey, get past being fucked by just stats. Like it's so stupid.
Yeah. So it's just really bad. And I wish... And you don't have to do it. I know you don't have to do it, but if you put something in front of me like that for completion's sake, I'm going to fucking do it. So what? Don't make it bad.
For the plat as well, yeah.
Right, right. So Flick Rush, really terrible. Up next, we have Union Cross. And I'm going to switch it up a little bit. I'm going to do the worst first on this one. The worst thing about Union Cross is that you can't play it anymore. Because of the nature of the game, they changed it so where you can watch all the cutscenes now, but you cannot play the game anymore. Mm-hmm. And I say what you want about the gameplay and the gacha part of it, but I still think that's really sad that that's a part of like Kingdom Hearts history that you can't, you know, the same way like VCast, you can't really play VCast, you know, like that's, to me, that's just kind of sad from like a video game preservation standpoint.
It's like,
you know, it's just
history
like
lost a little bit.
Exactly, you know? Exactly. And the story's still there, which is what most people care about, and I think that's fine, but I still think it's really sad that I can't go like, if I'm like, oh, I'm going to play through Union Cross. I can't do that. That being said, the best thing is that I cannot play this game anymore because this game is absolute dog shit. It's fucking predatory gotcha fucking bullshit. I'm so glad that I cannot play it anymore. It's awful. Everybody was really insufferable about it. You know, people, Union Cross is the best Kingdom Hearts thing that's ever had. No, it's not. It's bad. I'm sorry. The story's fine. Don't get me wrong. But like,
yeah, the story's cool, actually. Yeah.
The fact that this existed for so long and was just such a terrible, like tap the screen game. We deserve better as Kingdom Hearts fans.
True. True. That leads pretty well into my worst thing about Cux. Is that it was literally farming the fans for money for years, bro. The freaking VIP thing, whatever you want to say about the gacha or whatever, like, oh, it wasn't necessary to do, you could still get stronger or whatever. But, like, it's just like your shit's getting power creeped and stuff. Like, it just feels bad to not spend money. And then also, like, the amount of money that you would have to spend in this game was, like, ridiculous for, like, what you would get. And then, like, the fact that it was for so many years to not really get much, it's just, like, it just feels bad, dude. Like, you're literally just getting farmed by your favorite game franchise. Just getting farmed, dude. But the best thing about Cux, I'm going to say, like, besides the story, because I just feel like that's kind of, like, beat to death, is there are some really, really cool medals and, like, animations that happen when they go off. Like, the art on them, really cool. It's a shame that it's, like, you know, you gotta, hey, I got this for spending $20 a week, you know? Like, oh, my God, dude. But I got my cool Zigbar medal. Like, oh, my God, bro. Just farmed.
Up next is 0.2, brother.
All right, 0.2. The worst thing about 0.2 is those damn, like, stone ball enemies or some shit, dude. Like, they
the
like
ball
spin
enemies in general.
Yeah, all the balls, dude. The worst balls. Like, they stun you. They go invulnerable. Like, oh my God, dude. They're the worst. Especially, like, they just are, like, hella tanky, too. Like, you have to hit them so many times, and then they, like, retaliate on you. It just feels awful. But the best thing is finding out why Mickey didn't have a shirt at the end of Cage 1. It makes it all worth it. All the stun locking, all the dying, all the wave of darknesses you have to fucking fight, dude. It makes it all worth it finding out why Mickey didn't have a damn shirt.
True.
Dude.
Oh, based. Absolutely based from
also,
Jason there, you guys.
Also, Mickey looks absolutely horrendous in that game.
He does, dude. He looks like his fur is like really weird carpet.
It's like the PlayStation 2 analog stick material.
Yeah. And then like his head is just wrong. Like just, his nose is too big.
Like how did Disney sign off on this? He looks awful.
Yeah, he looks fucking terrible. Anyway, my best part of 0.2 is the opening movie / Simple and Clean remix that played during the opening movie.
Yeah.
it fucking pops off. The movie's dope. The movie has some, like, as opposed to like BBS where they just showed like a scene from the end of the game that was already a secret movie. This one, it's like they show some really cool imagery and do some really cool things with like Aqua and Terra and Ventus's relationship and getting pulled away from them and like all that stuff. And like the Symbol Queen remix just absolutely slaps. I am fine with every Kingdom Hearts game from now on using Simple and Clean as the opening song, but like just doing a remix of it. I think that would actually be kind of hype. And especially if the movie matches it this well.
Yeah, like the symbolism is good, yeah.
Right. The worst thing is that fucking mirror room, dude. I always get fucking lost in that fucking mirror room. Where am I? What mirror do I go in? Like, when you get in that mirror room, dude,
you get stuck in the back rooms, bro. It's a back room ass level.
It really is. Here's the thing about 0.2. Whenever I, like, haven't played it in a while, I'm like, oh, you know what? Running through 0.2 might be tight. Or I'm like, oh, I could speedrun 0.2. It's not that long. But then I get to the fucking mirror room, and I'm like, oh, why the fuck am I playing this game?
Yeah.
Like, everything just turns, and I'm like, oh, no, not the mirror room. Get me out of here.
It's like End of the Thorns. Those two, I'm just like, oh, my God,
yeah,
dude.
Yeah, and when she, like, just starts,
magic
like, single...
on these ones, and you have to hit these ones. Like, oh, my God.
Or when she starts single-handedly taking down dark sides, and it's like, wait a minute here. What's going on here? Anyway, up next is Kingdom Hearts 3, the Remind version, if you will. And this is definitely a very specific pick for best for me. To me, the best thing about Kingdom Hearts 3, and I'm a Kingdom Hearts 3 enjoyer. I like Kingdom Hearts 3 a lot. The best thing for me is the Ever After Keyblade. After Keyblade just fucks, dude. It's so good. The form changes are sick. It's powerful. The shot lock's the best shot lock in the game. It looks cool. It looks like the fucking tower from Rapunzel. Everything about the Ever After Keyblade is just so dope. And I know this is like the speedrunner in me talking, because you use it pretty heavily throughout the run. But I just think it's such a cool Keyblade.
I feel like the finisher is so long and does like no damage. Like that's the only thing. If it did more damage, like, it would just be so goated.
Right. It would be too good. I think that's where the conceit they took is like, hey, like we can't make this finisher really good because otherwise this thing, no one will use anything else. The worst thing about Kingdom Hearts 3 for me is some of the weird story pacing towards the end. Mm. And what I mean by that is we have the moment in the Keyblade graveyard where everybody dies and then Sora has to go save them and fight the liches. And then they come back like it's back in time, like they got to relive that moment in time. It still doesn't make a lot of sense to me. And Remind to me made it worse because then you have Sora inside. Sora traveled back in time to be inside Sora to save Kairi. And it's just like, and then Sora goes off and he fights Terranort at one point, which he didn't do in the original title. Like everything about it is just like, to me, it's almost like Nomura read the Sleeping Realm theory and was like, I fucking hate that. So I'm going to do something even crazier. And it's still like, I know a lot of people are going to go in the comments and go, Mike, you just don't understand it. It's really comprehensive and woke. And it really like, you just don't get it. And I know I get it. That's fine. But like, I just don't think it's good. I love Kingdom Hearts. I love the majority of the story. I don't think that section of the game is good from a story perspective. I just think it's bad.
Yeah. Like, I think the first playthrough, like, the shock factor of it is good. But when it comes to, like, replay and, like, thinking about it after, it's definitely not great.
And there are moments during that time that are cool, like, you know, Yen Sid dropping down. And, I do like Riku's speech he gives to Sora before everybody dies and stuff. So there's some cool parts about it. But just, like, it doesn't make any sense. And I don't, like, to me, you know, people have always made the joke, oh, Kingdom Hearts confusing, the complicated story. They were saying that before Kingdom Hearts 3 came out.
Yeah.
But they were like, just saying that to reference this specific part, and they just knew. You know what I mean? Because, like, to me, this is, like, this is what people think. People that don't know Kingdom Hearts, this is what they think it is.
Yeah.
And they're right here, to me.
Yeah, and it's sad. It's sad.
Right.
So for me, the worst thing in KH3 is like your tools being like so situational and kind of out of your control for the most part, right? Like using limits and team ups, you just have to hope they happen. And there's times where like from like having speed ran it, like you know, oh, it's always gonna happen here or whatever, right? But just right. still not being able to exactly choose just feels bad. Like the trade off is that okay, teaming up and doing the team up move with Woody and Buzz, being able to just use it randomly when it pops up means that you don't have to lose all of your magic to do it, right? Because like if you did that in Cage 2, like you do your team up with like Jack Skellington, you just lost all your mana. Right? Right. And if you were smart, you only lost like one cast. Like you did it right before you ran out, but still now your mana's on recharge. So it is the trade-off, but also like with, you know, the just the team ups where like you and Donald do the fire together. Like it just has to, the prerequisites for it have to happen, and it has like a cooldown that you don't really know. Like it's just kind of random. And then also the Keyblade forms, while you can save them, and they're super fucking cool, but like not being able to just use a resource like, okay, I want to use the Ever After upgrade now. No, now I have to mash X with a magic-based Keyblade a ton in order to build it up. Because you can't, you still have to do a certain amount of Keyblade hits in order to get the form. Like if I only casted magic, I'm only going to get like Faraza or something, you know? So that just feels bad if there was just a resource that you built up from hitting X a bunch, you know, like how the drive gauge works in 2, I think I'd like it a lot more. But my best thing about Cage 3 is the movement is so freaking good, dude. It feels so good. Like when you're hitting like slide dashes up a hill and they chain together, that feels hella good, like in the speed run. But even just playing through it the first time, it was just so cool being able to air slide really well. The traversing with like the shot lock, like air step stuff is always cool. The gliding and everything feels really solid in it, and you don't have to level up a damn final form over and over in order to get it. Like it's not like gated behind that. Like, yeah, you get it after a certain like moment in the story, but it just still feels so much better to have it that way. And then also on top of that, having the level design for it to actually matter as well.
Right, right.
It's the best of both worlds where you have really good movement and really good level design. Like going around in the toy store, once you have movement and shit, it just feels so good. It's like an actual playground, dude. Like it's sick.
And they took what they were trying to do in DDD with the flow motion and just refined it to a point where it's real. Because I remember when KH3, like we were getting previews of Kingdom Hearts 3 and they're like, well, flow motion's back. Everybody groaned and they were like, oh, it's not good. But it's yeah. so like, although you don't hear those haters anymore because it was really good in KH3.
Yeah,
it worked really
up.
Well. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Up next, Jay, is Dark Road.
Ooh. So the worst thing about Dark Road, it's like the identity of the game is just so shit. Like it's like an AFK grind game where you need to kill a certain amount of Heartless. Like, oh, if you killed 100 of the Heartless, you got plus attack and defense and HP and all this. So you have to like kill every single Heartless like 100 times. So you need to grind it. So it's like an AFK game kind of. You can't like lock your phone. You can't have it playing in the background. You can't have it go into like a tiny window or something instead. And it just drains the fuck out of your battery too. Like it reminded me of like Pokemon Go. Back when Pokemon Go came out, it just would drain the shit out of people's batteries to the point where people are like buying like battery packs and shit, you know, to be able to charge
right,
it.
Right.
It was bad like that. Like it just nuked my damn phone where I was like, I can't even be bothered to play this anymore. Like Mike had to play it. Like it just, this yeah. is just making, I'm already a somebody who where like my phone is low battery all the time, even though I don't really use it. I'm not really a huge phone guy, but like still it was just like making my phone dead even more often.
Right. Somehow.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just awful. But the best part about Dark Road is the part where and what's sad is like it was just kind of getting going and then it got like cut and snubbed and stuff. But like the coolest part to me was when you go to Wonderland, Wonderland of all places. Like, I freaking hate this world normally, but you go there and Xehanort kind of like, he almost like does like an exorcism kind of, like he like calls out a demon basically, right?
Right.
And it's like the Reaper of fucking Death. Like, it looks so fucking cool. And it just came out of a freaking Disney character, bro. Like, the amount of creepiness and like, oh, there's like dark powers and stuff vibes that you get from it. And then like knowing that like young Xehanort is going to like basically lose to that as well eventually. Like, it's just fucking cool, bro. Like that.
No, I agree.
That was so menacing and cool and creepy. And I was like, damn, okay. Let him cook with Dark Road. Okay, okay. Like, story wise, well, hold up. But yeah, that's the best part for sure.
All right. For me, the best part of Dark Road is the, you know, the game had a bunch come out. And then there was that big hiatus where they were like, oh, we're just going to end it. And I thought the story they released at the end was really good.
Yeah,
it
better than we thought for sure.
Better than we thought. I had a really fun time when we went through it on stream. I enjoyed the story quite
Balder,
a bit.
Balder, Mickey Mouse.
Yeah, yeah. When I voiced Balder with Mickey. But jokes aside, like
happy accident.
Right. I thought the story was really good. To me, I know everybody loves Union Cross's story, but to me, This is the mobile game story to me. This one, and it's not consequential as much as like Union Cross is, right, for the future, because it's just kind of Xehanort's backstory. But like, I really enjoyed it, and maybe that's why I enjoyed it more, because it's not like, obviously there were some things at the end that were like, hey, this is leading to like the starting of Skalad Kaim and like all that stuff, but like.
It had good closure.
I thought it was a contained story. But on that same coin, the worst thing about Dark Road is it's very clear this is not what they wanted. When they set out to do this project, this is not what they wanted. They did not want to cut it short like they did. But when you're talking about mobile games, they have to have a certain amount of revenue.
Animators.
They have to have a certain amount of revenue or they're not worth it to the company. And it was very clear to me that it was not making the revenue they wanted, because Square Enix, like, they will, Union Cross, Dissidia Opera Omnia, Final Fantasy Record Keeper, these are games that have really long lifespans because they're making money, and Dark Road just never got there. And I think it was kind of a half-baked idea in the first place. Like,
yeah,
they just kind of like, well, what are these Union Cross people going to do? We'll have them do this. And they're like, well, this isn't making money, so here's two animators, you know? So it's just clear that this wasn't a fully formed vision that they wanted to do, and I think that's sad. So that, to me, that's the worst thing about it. Finally, we're on to Melody of Memory. And to me, the best part of Melody of Memory, and I want to preface this, I guess, because I was telling Jay this beforehand, Final Fantasy Theat Rhythm, what is the subtitle of that game?
Something bar note. I don't know.
Final bar line. you just had to say bar and I knew it. That game has really colored how I feel about Melody of Memory in hindsight. I think, not to talk, this isn't the worst thing, but like, I just feel like compared to the At Rhythm, and I understand that it's like spanning like 15 Final Fantasy games as opposed to one or like four or five Kingdom Hearts games, but it just feels like not as much care was put into this game as that game. But that being said, so to me, because I don't think it's a bad game by any stretch, but I really feel like disappointed by it in hindsight. The best thing about Melody of Memory is Preferred Whale 6 being the dominant speedrunner of Melody of Memory.
The goat. Just
the trailblazer, even. Just coming up with strats, coming up with pathing, coming up with everything, and just being an absolute goat at Melody of Memory. That's the best part of it to me. The worst part
those
of it is that
streams.
They for sure. The worst part is that they never did DLC, dude.
Yeah.
Come on, you could have done Kingdom Hearts 3 DLC easy,
right.
No problem, and they just didn't do it. And the Kingdom Hearts 3 part in general, and they gave the excuse, oh, they were being worked on at the same time. I don't know, man. That's bullshit.
Yeah.
Like, that, it just says.
Well, the
like,
fact
I don't
that
use...
it's like Theater Rhythm, like, to your point, Theater Rhythm is getting DLC.
Yeah.
Like, what?
And maybe that game just did way better? I don't know. I just feel like it's horseshit. So yeah, that's the worst thing about it for me.
Well, and like, okay, come on. Rock bands can put out DLC years and years. Like, just do what they... Just have one freaking developer make, like, a pack. And right. I'm sure you can get your money's worth. Like, not at this point. This shit, it's dead. But you could have had it, you know? Like, they could have made money. And also, it just would have been, like... It's just additive to your game. Like, well, why would you not want to... make the value proposition even better of this game? Like, I don't know.
Well, I think what probably happened, and we'll never know, but I think what probably happened is they knew they were working on Final Bar Line because it's the same Indie Zero, it's the same company.
You just throw all the developers at Final Bar Line.
So,
yeah.
So I think they were like, hey, we need to focus on this next. And so
damn stepchild.
Right, yeah. Right, basically, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, what's your best and worst on Naughty Memory?
So worst... is not being able to play with my friends. Like, why can I not go into a lobby and just get absolutely thrashed by Whale whenever I want? You know? Like, sometimes true. I just need my teeth kicked in, and now I have to, oh, well, let's queue up at the same time. Hopefully we get each other. And then I don't. And then I, like, hate the other person I'm against. I'm like, fuck you, dude. You made it so I couldn't play with my friend. And then it's like, oh, and then they get their song, too, that they choose. And it's like a cringe. It's like Lord of the Castle for, like, the 10th time in a row. And you're like, oh, my God, bro. I'm so sick of this shit. And then you beat them and you're like, fuck you. Even though they're just, like, a nice person just playing Melody of Memory. It could be one of the homies in the Discord. Wow, I can't wait to play my favorite game. Oh my God, it's the Spike Getty Bros. Like, I'm just right. on stream. Let me pull up their stream. Let me see if they're streaming. And I'm just berating them. Like, that literally happened. Anyway, ugh. The best part of Melody of Memory is, like, when you get good at it, it just feels good. You know, like, I think everybody that, like, at least, even if you didn't buy the game, but you, like, played the, like, free beta, when you started getting good, you're like, damn, okay, I see, and it just gets you, like, so hyped to play the game. It just feels good. And then when you start hitting those full chains and stuff, it's sick.
Yeah, dude, for sure, I agree. And I feel like I was overly negative on it because I do really like the game. I just think the at-rhythm is really painted.
Yeah.
What my expectations are as far as like those kind of rhythm games go, and Naughty Memory just didn't meet it anymore. So that's it for this little segment. I hope you guys enjoyed this, and by little I mean long segment. I hope you guys enjoyed it. It was pretty cool, like kind of picking and choosing what we thought our favorite and least favorite things are about these games. I'm sure, like Jason said, I'm going to wake up in the middle of the night and go, oh, no, it's actually this, right? But,
no.
You know, I guess we'll see with that. But anyway.
I should have said the Oogie Boogie fight in Cage 2.
Yeah, that fight's really bad. yeah, I might change my answer. Anyway, I will announce right now the question of the week for next week. Because it's related to this.
Yo.
I want you guys to pick one Kingdom Hearts game. One. It can be whatever one you choose.
A singular.
But it cannot be more than one. And I don't want to hear this, oh, I picked the 1.5, 2.5. No, one Kingdom Hearts game. And I want you to do this exercise and give us reasons why one thing is the best and one thing is the worst. Okay? So that's a question of the week for next week, so you can get started on it. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to do this week's question of the week, which is absolute nonsense from SB Cat. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Answer Report Podcast! It's weird to do that twice in one episode. Jason.
Yeah?
It's time for the...
Question of the week.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you to Aphoroxis. I hope you're doing well, buddy. Appreciate you. This week's question of the week comes from SBCap. Both pilots go down. Which Kingdom Hearts character/duo can land a plane without prior training? This is just absolute nonsense. Egg answers first. As much as I hate that bitch, it's probably going to be Riku.
Okay. Yeah, that's facts. That's facts.
Lotus, a.k.a. Ed. Shout out to Ed.
Yo, Ed!
Donald and Goofy, obviously.
True. Yeah, Goofy kind of has that, like, crackhead energy where, like, he would just pull it off, but, like, not because of anything he did. Like, he just lucked out, you know?
But also, he has training because he flies a gummy ship.
Right, right.
And Donald.
I guess I was thinking more of, like, you know those, like, Goofy, like, shorts or whatever?
Yeah.
Where it was basically some Tom and Jerry shit, you know?
Yeah, when he does the,
Yeah, definitely.
V says, Aqua, she's the only responsible one, but Sora, Donald, and Goofy all seem to have experience flying a gummy ship.
Mm-mm.
Good answer.
I guess I literally didn't even think about the gummy ship when...
Yeah, me neither. Me neither. Zombie, yeah, man, says... Yeah. Aqua, Terra, Ventus could fly it like their Keyblades. True. Zombie then also says Egg is cringe. I agree.
True.
Nice job, Zombie. Angel, yeah.
Yeah.
Says Aqua and Terra literally drive their Keyblades.
Dude, guys.
That's a good answer.
Have you seen how many, like, switches and buttons and shit are inside of a cockpit of an airplane?
Yeah. Yeah, it's not just stand on a keyblade and hit the button on your shoulder, all right? Chede says, technically, Launchpad is in Kingdom Hearts Union Cross, and he's a pilot, so...
Okay,
second person, Xemnas flew a Dargon, so that's the combo right there. He did fly a Dargon.
Xemnas and Launchpad.
What a name a more iconic duo.
I can't.
Dangus says Goofy and Donald can land a 747 any day of the week. I'm pretty sure both of them, at least Donald, were canonically in the military, and Goofy just has inherent BDE.
Terra
would let some bad guy trick him into flying into the wrong destination. Aqua would sacrifice herself to send the plane into another dimension, and Ventus would sleep through the crash. Sora wouldn't be able to board the plane because no one told him about the plane until KH3. Riku could maybe do, and Kairi would be locked in the brig because she needs more training to land the plane. She spent years in an infinite timeless realm doing nothing but learning to land planes.
No.
Claudia DLC says, I thought if Donald Duck and Mickey would land the plane better, I kind of wish Launchpad from DuckTales would be okay in landing the plane, but he's not in Kingdom Hearts character, so I feel like they would do the job in landing a plane. Except he is in Union Cross, we've been told by Chaney.
Technically.
Crazy Comics, shout out to Crazy Comics, says, Ansem the Wise, because he's freaking wise. That's true.
That's actually facts. He would, like, monologue while doing it, too.
I was just going to say that. I'm going to land this plane because I am the only one who is able to land it. And I'm the only one who's able to land it because I have thought about how the nobodies really don't have feelings and they're not...
Fuck
they're
nobodies.
Not any,
they're fuck subhuman.
Them. Fuck. They're subhuman scum. The nobodies. They're not able to have any feelings
I wish I could hit nobodies with this plane as I was landing it.
Oh, no. No, don't crash it into the fucking nobody tower. Oh, no. No. No, Ansem the Wise. No, you've already committed enough war crimes.
True. Yeah, that's canon now. That's in my head canon.
I missed earlier where Ed said Chip and Dale, actually. He changed his answer. And Brandon, shout out to Brandon, said, this is 100% the most accurate answer possible. So Chip and Dale, you know?
That was literally my answer.
Oh no. Billy the Kid, Lawrence, says, V is right. Aqua is going to bring everybody down without a scratch. It's that motherly instinct to keep all the babies safe. Mommy. Folsey says, out of the blue, but nominate, I feel her drawing skills on the fly would work well here to land a plane. Okay. Key says, Probably definitely Chip and Dale, not Donald. He literally crashed the gummy ship fighting with Sora. LOL. True.
That's true. That's true.
But that's actually not canon because Deep Jungle is not canon anymore. Inertia just posted a GIF of Donald, and he's sweating. So I'm assuming he means Donald is going to do it.
Okay. Sure.
Cheery Theoden says, brain because some of the bootstrap paradox bullshit where he read about himself landing the plane in the Book of Prophecies, which he uses to learn how to land the plane, so that when the time comes, he can land the plane and have the moment recorded in the Book of Prophecies for him to learn from in the past. Also, yeah. Nominated is there, but emoji. Mostly for vibes.
Yeah.
Basically, I've got Brain being a character in Lost. Nominate is, of course, Sun in this retelling because they are both best girl. That was a Lost reference for anybody who didn't know. Cheese and Quacker says, it's got to be the iconic duo Ansem the Wise and Dylan / Zaldin, Cat Champ. Okay. Okay. Ansem will learn to fly the plane because he's IRL nerd emoji. And Dylan will calm all the passengers down with his great shoulder pats. He may not speak, but his actions are a million times louder than
words.
Yeah,
that's true. They ring true.
Mark Creation Studio says, Terra and Aqua for sure. They both can fly their Keyblade gliders pretty well. Pink says, I initially thought Chip and Dale, but they have never actually fly around a gummy ship, so maybe they are too small. My second choice would be Sora and Riku.
Maybe just they are too small. They're 3 inches tall. I am thinking maybe they are too small. I don't know.
They also
it's
did
one
the,
in the morning, dude. Give me some slack.
They did the thinking emoji when they said that too. Maybe they're too small. My second choice would be Sora and Riku, just because their will to save everyone would probably motivate them enough or give them enough adrenaline to figure it out.
Mm.
Kyrie's bro says, my brain went to Zaldin and Alexius. Sadly, they have to do it in complete silence.
They'd get it done.
They would. SP Cat says, who else could we trust to land these planes but Zigbar and... Wait, what? That can't be right. Zigbar and Travis from Traverse Town? Weird. Anyway, yeah, two of the best characters in KH can naturally land a plane without no training. Just keep an eye on Travis. He has a weird basement.
Hey, yo.
SP, what?
There's something about Travis basement lore that I don't know, and I don't want to know. This, I might be I on a list if I know. He might take me out.
Jip says, guys, the answer is so obviously Cid. Have you clacked those keys That's on true. The computer in Merlin's house? He's going so hard for no damn reason. Never seen anyone use their shoulders to type on a keyboard. If I had to pick a co-pilot, I guess I would pick Zexion. People picking Sora, assuming this is a gummy ship. If it's a commercial plane, he's fucked. Sora couldn't even figure out his damn smartphone.
That's
I don't
true.
Computer.
That's
Bro,
true.
No way this motherfucker is landing a plane. Zexion is smart enough to do it, I think.
That's so fucking true.
But here's the thing.
He has a smartphone.
Egg calls out Jip here with the next post saying, Jip doesn't know a thing about Final Fantasy, yet he chose the only character who's a pilot, LMAO.
Yeah, dude, he could sense the big dick pilot energy, dude.
Yeah. Yep. Arziki says, we all know the only answer is Pence. W-A-P. We're all Pence. True.
Pence would clutch it out. He's got the clutch factor.
He can't wait to get to Sleuthin on how to fly that plane. Stinky Panda says, I kind of think Xion would be a good bet, mostly stemming from the fact that she was able to just completely hack all of Castle Oblivion computers when finding info about herself. And of course, Zemnit would be the airport marshal leading her in. True.
True.
Leaving?
It's like leaving. They're clearly coming in. He like keeps asking.
Leaving?
Like, no.
Leaving?
You're supposed to
no,
help
we're trying
me.
To land.
You're supposed to welcome me.
We have a plane leaving on runway 6.
What's your answer for this question, Jay?
Dude, I already said it earlier. It's mother sucking Chip and
Chip
Dio.
And Dale.
You kidding me, dude? I don't care, dude.
Wow, Tatsu, you killed them all!
I imagine, like, they're both jumping up and down in order to control, like, each side. Like, they're only using one of the freaking... Because, I mean, only one of the pilots is actually, like, doing it. The other one is just there in case, you know, like they're flipping the switches, they're making sure they're good. But like Chip and Dale, they have to both use the same one, and they're like jumping up and down and shit in order to do it. One of them's like riding, and he's looking at the stats like, to the left, sorry, the right. But it would work. They would do it. And then they'd hit a mother sucking salute. Like, they're not even on the controls anymore. As they like roll up, and like air traffic control just sees them standing on like the dash, and they're just hitting the cleanest salute, just knowing it's gonna stop exactly what it needs to. Just like swag finish.
They would do that trope that's in movies where he's like, go left, go left. And the guy goes right. He goes, your other left.
Yeah, true, true.
Wow, Chipper.
What's the thing they say in football? What's the thing they say in they say like something like nut.
Here's my acorn shot.
Is it ready or not? Here comes
ready
the
or not? Here's
shot.
The acorn shot. Yeah. Yeah.
Dude, acorn Holy shot shit. All over that runway, dude.
Okay, so here's the thing. My answer. And I'm ashamed of Egg of Dog. We're not saying this is his answer, but the answer's Pete. Pete could fly a motherfucking plane, dude.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. No, I feel
Pete
it.
Pete would bring that plane down safely and then walk through the aisles gloating.
Yeah.
About how none of you other losers could do it.
But then Mickey would get the fucking credit, though. Like, Mickey's just in there, like, shitting himself. Like, he probably passes out. He faints. But Pete lands that shit, and then they're like, we all know Mickey probably did it.
Huh? Well, I guess I did land the plane, didn't I? Ha ha.
Yeah.
He's like, man. Like, Pete just has to go home dejected to his super fucking hot wife.
Yeah, so he's
by
winning.
By the way.
He's winning.
He's winning no matter what. He's winning no
he
matter
what. He can land the plane.
Peg Pete is an absolute unit, okay? Pete... If he lives on that plane crash, it doesn't matter if the plane crashed or landed properly. If he lives, he's still winning. Okay? God damn. Peg Pete. Ugh. Anyway, Kevin James meme, when people ask Pete how he got such a hot wife.
Yeah,
he's just standing there with his hands in his pockets, shrugging.
What can I say?
All right, guys. That's going to do it for the question of the week. Like we said earlier, next week's question of the week is pick a Kingdom Hearts game and tell me the best thing about it and the worst thing about it.
One
Kingdom Hearts game, please. We appreciate you guys answering the question of the week. We have a lot of fun doing it. We're going to continue to do it until it doesn't make sense anymore because there's too many fucking of you guys to do it. But we're not there yet, so we'll keep rolling. And that's going to do it for this episode, this extra-sized episode of the Answer Report podcast. Thank you guys for listening and watching. Hope you had a good time. Email us at answerreportpodcast@gmail.com. I had a great time. Email us there. Hit us up on the Discord if you're not in there already. Just a lot
Please
of really goated people in the Discord.
Leave us some reviews, for the love of God.
Yeah. Leave us an Apple Podcast review, and we'll read it on air. Or if you just do the 5-star one on Spotify, you can't leave like an actual review, but you can still give us 5 stars. Do that, because that helps with the quote-unquote algorithm. And then finally, I'm going to do a little bit of a self-plug here. Me and Sean, a member of the Discord who you might know from various projects, season 2 of our BoJack Horseman podcast, What Is This, a crossover episode. The first episode's out of season 2, and they're going to be out every Monday for the next 12 weeks. And we're going to keep going until we finish the show. So if you like me, you'll probably like that podcast. You just have to deal with Sean. If you like Sean, you'll probably like the podcast. You just have to deal with me. If you like us both, great. If you don't like either of us and you like BoJack Horseman, you should still listen anyway because it's a fun time. So, What Is This? A crossover episode is the name of the podcast. Check it out. Thank you for listening and watching, everybody. We will see you in 2 weeks for episode 203. Jason, hit him with it.
May your hearts be your guiding key.
Thank you.
Now, fuck off.
Hey guys, it's 3 in the morning and I just finished editing the podcast and I realized I didn't read off the patrons. So it's just me today, but I'm going to read off the patrons for you guys. Thank you so much for supporting us. If you want to support us, you can go to patreon.com/superspikegettybros. I'm tired. Famous for Nothing. Billy the Kid Lawrence. Corinne Ver. Espy Cat. Iron Agro. Lisa S. Mr. Trumpeter 711. Swarles Barkley. Zach P. Pokemon Trainer J. Dr. Lambic. Elbow Juice. It's your boy Woody. Candelo. Jip 214. Frank Verg, that's my commish. Fabio, the iguana. Vetus. Boomer for KH. Happy birthday, Boomer! Lands of Masters. Regular Pat, YT. What's up, Carl? Strawberry Mango. Librarian Gamer. Afro Roxas. Chene. Travis Town Jr. Phil Games. Dick Butt 23. And Batuke Anda. Thank you guys so much for supporting us over at patreon.com/superspikeeddiebros. It goes a long way to helping us with a lot of things, and hopefully we'll be able to put some more exclusive content up there for you guys. But until next time, we'll see you later.